If you will open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it's been written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Would you pray with me? Living God, the one who puts stars in the skies to draw people to you, would you draw us to you in this place on this day? Oh God, the one who is worthy of worship, just as these wise men worshiped, would you be honored and glorified as we do our best to worship you too? And oh God, who finds the people who are looking for you, would you find us right here, right now? We are here because we are those who are always looking for you. We open your word because we want to hear your voice, because we want to know you, because we need you to guide us. And so would your spirit move freely among us, oh God, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear. And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. So you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. That time of year, every year, that we get to visit one of my favorite stories, the story of the wise men. And so just to kick it off, those of you who have been doing this every year for your whole life, you should get a 10 out of 10 on this little quiz, but a little wise men quiz. Ready? All right, wise men trivia. How many wise men were there? Wrong. Well, maybe. We don't know. There's three gifts, but it never tells us how many wise men there were. Ha, gotcha. All right. This is fun, right? We did the same quiz last year, you guys. Okay, second question. Where did the wise men find Jesus? Wrong. Not in the manger. It says in the story they found, not in a barn. It says in the story they found him in a house. So they weren't there. Why we're messed up is because our little nativity scenes, you know, those are cute and I love them, but they're not technically the Bible. And so it has, you know, Mary and Joseph and Jesus and the shepherds and wise men all together. The wise men came from a long ways away. The shepherds were just hanging out in the fields. It took them a while, maybe months, to get to Jesus. It says in Matthew 2, they found him in the house. Huh, some of you were 0 for 2. It's okay. So this is a place of grace and growing. What was their job? Yeah, but like the job they got money for. Yes, good, good. Astrologist, most likely astrologist. They're still mysterious. We can't say for sure. But what their job was not is kings. You know, this, we three kings. I'm tone deaf. But not kings, most likely. They had money because they made a big journey, and they gave gifts for a king, but nowhere do we hear that these guys were kings. Where do they come from? The East. We don't really know. Right. I mean, maybe Persia, Iraq, Iran. We don't really know. Far away. So, little primer. You ready for the wise men? I love the story of the wise men. I feel like there's about a gazillion different sermons that could come from just these 12 verses alone. I'm going to preach all 12 this morning. Just kidding. But one of those sermons, I mean, this idea that these are these pagans from far away. They're not in Israel at all. They're not Jewish at all. And they're some of the very first ones to get to come face to face with Jesus Christ. I love that sermon. A God who can do whatever he wants to do to whomever he wants to do it to, however he wants to do it. It could be, but that's not the sermon for today, but it is a good one. There could be this other sermon about these guys who literally dropped everything because they just had to get to Jesus or whatever the star was pointing to. They dropped everything. Their jobs, their families, they just took off on a journey. And it could be a whole sermon about how Jesus is worth that kind of dedication. We could just drop everything. It could be a whole sermon just about worship. Three times in those 12 verses, it emphasized they were coming to worship. They weren't coming to interrogate the new king. They weren't coming to write a journal article about him. They were coming because they were driven with this motivation to worship him. Could be a whole sermon about this call for worship to be the thing that drives us, that our whole lives are about, that we're always moving towards, just worship more and more worship. It could be a whole sermon about Herod. Those are fun sermons because there's a lot of Herods in today's world still, it turns out. And it could be a sermon about why did he get so scared when he heard about this new king that was worthy of worship? And all Jerusalem with him, not just Herod. What is it about the people of God worshiping together this real king that terrifies people that don't understand who he is or what he's about? It's this place of worship where identities, true identities, are revealed. And it's in worship that chains are broken and people are set free. It's in worship that the status quo is no longer okay anymore. And we want to get up and do something bigger and better and more beautiful in this world. And that makes those who are comfortable with the way things are rather uncomfortable. Worship unites us. Worship redirects us. Worship transforms us. If you're not in worship, you're a little bit scared of those who are. Worship. What does it do? What does it do in us? It could be a whole sermon about Bethlehem. He's like, where's this king? Bethlehem, Bethlehem. Yeah, because the prophet said, you, Bethlehem, small among Judah, are by no means the least of these. Be a whole sermon about when God's ready to do something new, something world-changing. He's just as likely to do a new thing in a place like Bethlehem as Jerusalem, a place like Belfair as Seattle. Could be a whole sermon about Bethlehem. It could be a whole sermon, I think I did this one last year, about going home another way. I love how this story ends, verse 12. They encounter Jesus, and they give him their gifts, and then they have to go home a different way. Of course they did. Because any time we actually encounter the living Jesus, we have to go home another way, right? We cannot come into his presence and leave totally unchanged, back to how it's always been. Doesn't work. And if we haven't gone home a different way in a long, long time, it may be time to encounter this Jesus again. Could be a whole sermon about going home another way. But none of those are today's sermon. Maybe next year. This year, I'm struck by these men who gave their entire lives to looking to the sky. Struck by their stories, who they are, what made them do this. I'm struck by these men who day after day look to the sky, and all of a sudden one day all of their looking to the sky led them to what they were looking for all along, and it was only ever Jesus. What makes people look to the sky? Why did these ones give their entire lives to this task? Stargazing. Why would they sleep during the day so they could be awake at night? Because something about the sky called them to a different way of living. What was that? When you last looked to the sky, try to remember that. When did you last, on purpose, look up to the sky? What was it that you were looking for? Why do we look to the sky? Wonder if for some it was grief that made you look to the sky. We've lost someone that we love. There's something in us that just turns our eyes upward, and we look up and we wonder if somewhere out there, they're still there. Maybe not so far away. Is there more than what we see right here? Our breaking hearts just look and wonder, where are they? Where is this place called heaven? How far away is it? I remember after my grandma Mimi, her funeral, my beloved grandma, you've heard so many stories about her. Everyone loved her. She loved Jesus. She loved our family so well. She was just the staple of who we were. And we had this beautiful memorial service for her, celebrated her love and her faith. And we walked outside of the funeral home that day, and every single person couldn't help but look up. It was a blue sky day in Texas. And would you know that on that day, at that moment, two jet planes had gone in separate directions, and somehow their path had made this beautiful, huge, clear cross in the sky. Every person walked out of Mimi's funeral, and there we stood all just looking up, saying, "You see that? You see that? That's not an accident. That's our God telling us, you people whose hearts are broken, be not dismayed. She's right here. I got her." There's more than meets the eye to this thing called life. Sometimes grief makes us look up the sky. I can't help but wonder if one of those wise men had perhaps buried a spouse recently and had just given the rest of his days to hoping, wondering if he might see her again somewhere, somehow, some way. Day after day, his grief had him looking to the sky. Is it wonder that makes you look to the sky sometimes? You can't help but just stand there and look up and wonder how big everything is, how far it goes, how old it's all been around, how long has this stuff been? It's just awe that makes you look at the sky, because this is an awesome place that we get to call home. Did you know that the stars in the Big Dipper, you've all seen the Big Dipper, right? We've all looked at the sky and seen that. Did you know that the stars in the Big Dipper are 60 to 125 light years away? What that means is, when you're looking at the Big Dipper, everyone in here, unless you're over 125 years old, is looking at something from before when you were born. That's how light years work. I can't explain it. It's weird. But that's crazy. You can't look at that and know that and not say, "Wow. Oh, awesome." The Andromeda Galaxy, that is the most distant object that is visible to the naked eye. Do you know how old it is? 2.5 million light years old. So when you see the Andromeda Galaxy, you are seeing light from 2.5 million years ago. Can't even get our minds around that, can we? It's just wonder. It's just awe. It's just awesome. And I can't help but wonder if one of those wise men who was looking to the sky night after night was at one time one of those little kids who ask 1,000 questions about everything, drives their parents crazy. But somehow he grew up to be an adult who did the same thing, never lost his sense of wonder. How big is it? How old is it? How far does it go? It's just so awesome. I can't stop asking questions. Wow. Was it a need for perspective that had you look to the sky? I find in my own life, when I get really overwhelmed, the best cure for that is to find the tallest mountain I can find and climb that mountain and get to the top, get away from any other human, and just look out and look up. And there in that place where I feel so very small in that great mountain range under that great big sky, it's like all of a sudden I hear this whisper come over me from wherever. I call it the Holy Spirit. It says, Jamie, don't you see? Don't you see the God who can hold all this together? Your worries in his hands aren't a thing. He's got those too. Sometimes I just need to look to the sky for a little perspective. My world is not ending. The sky is not falling. We've got a big God who can hold some stuff together. Wonder if one of those wise men who spent his whole life looking to the sky on that night he saw that star of Bethlehem was feeling just a little overwhelmed by the stack of bills on his desk and the job that he was 2 weeks behind on and the evening news that he had just heard. I wonder if he just had to look up and wait for that whisper that says, fear not, surely someone's got this. Someone's got this. Is it a need for connection that makes you look up sometimes? Those who are newly in love, they go out and hold hands and look to the stars. And something about that moment just makes the love feel more warm and fuzzy. Fievel the mouse, remember him? No, I'll tell you about him. He's a little mouse. And he gets lost in New York City. And he's all alone and he's scared. And one night he stands outside his window and he looks to the stars and he sings that song, hoping that someone out there maybe loves him too. And he says, even though I know how far apart we are, it helps me to think that you might be wishing on the same bright star. Connection. Do you ever look up this canopy over our heads and think about those who have gone before us? And those who are going to come after us, who are going to see the exact same constellations, who are going to receive warmth from the exact same sun. A little kid lets a balloon float off into the sky, and they look up and they watch it go, and they watch it go, and they begin to wonder, I wonder who else can see my balloon too? We're connected. Whatever they let off into the sky in China eventually affects our lives here in America, and vice versa. We all share this thing together, connected. We belong to each other. Sometimes we look up just to remember that we are part of a people that we're responsible for, that we belong to. Wonder if one of those wise men was just feeling a little alone in the world that night, just looking up, wondering if anyone else was looking up at the same thing he was looking at. Who did he belong to? Who were his people? Who was doing what he was doing? Where did he find home? Were you dreaming the last time you looked to the sky about where your next airplane was going to take you? Dreaming about being on Bezos' next trip to Mars? Those who get antsy with this world, those who feel allergic to gravity, they tend to look up and wonder what more there is that they could see, what more there is that they could do, where more there is that they could go. What more, what more? I wonder if there was a wise man in the group who just had that sense for adventure, who just dreamed of things that he had never seen, who just dreamed of places that he may never get to go, who just dreamed of doing things that he couldn't even imagine he might be able to do. Dreamers look to the sky. Perhaps you were lost last time you looked up. You looked up to try to get some direction, some guidance. We hear about how slaves would look up and follow the North Star to lead them into freedom. Sailors did the same thing. Sometimes when I'm out in the woods and don't have reception, I'm not very good at this, but I know that in theory it should work, that you should be able to know like where the sun is, and the sun, you know, rises in the east and sets in the west, and where it is in the sky, and what time of day it is, and just follow it, and you'll get up by night. It's supposed to work, and for many people it does. The sky. A guide for those who are searching for the way out, the way home. Can't help but wonder if there was a wise man in that group who spent his life looking to the stars because he just felt lost in this world. Not sure where to go. No idea what job to take. totally out of ideas on how to save his wayward child or how to rescue his failing marriage. Didn't have the last clue on how to get out of depression. Didn't know what his life was for. He was just lost. And so night after night, he would just look up, wondering, can I ever be found? Last time you looked to the sky, was it a longing for daylight that drew you to that posture? I remember the coldest night of my life was on Mount Sinai. I was living in Egypt. You get to the bottom of the mountain at 2 a.m. and you get a Bedouin guide and you hike up to the top. It only takes a couple hours. So there we are at 4 a.m. with nothing to do. It's dark and it's cold. The desert gets cold at night. Did you know that? Freezing. And so we have this little Bedouin blanket, and all we have to do is lay on a mountain and look at the sky. We are shivering. We're miserable. 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. feels like 2 hours that will go on for eternity. And all of us are just staring at the sky, staring at the sky. Anywhere on the horizon, is there any glimmer, any glimpse that this night does not last forever? Will daylight ever come again? Will warmth ever come again? I wonder if one of those wise men was in this long, dark night of his life that just kept getting darker and colder. When he thought it can't get any darker than this, lo and behold, something else happened and it was darker again. So there he was, night after night, just looking to the sky, looking for a glimmer, a glimpse, any sign that sunshine was coming, any sense that hope was on the way. Last time you looked up to the sky, did you do it to get some kind of idea of what was coming? A forecast, perhaps. Red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. You know, that kind of thing. You look out your window in the morning, you see clouds across the way. Pack your rain jacket just in case. Some of you are the type that likes to be the information sharers. The over-preparers. And so you look out, you get a sense of what's coming and make sure we all know too. It's snowing. It's raining. It's going to snow. It's going to rain. Get ready, get ready. One of those wise men you know was that guy. He was your first century walking weather app. He was the one who wanted to be sure that everyone knew what he knew about what was coming. There he was, looking to the sky, looking to the sky. There's a star. Something's happening. We're going. Why did you look to the sky? Was it just beauty that turned your eyes upward? Sunsets. You can't not look when there's a beautiful sunset, can you? Constellations, cloud formations, those really cool ones that hover over Mount Rainier. You've seen those? I don't even know what they're called, but they're amazing. You can't be driving down I-5 and see that and not swerve out of your lane. At least I can't. It's amazing. And sometimes you see these things and everything else in the world just has to stop. And you find yourself just coming to a pause so you can soak in this beauty for a moment. Some of us see those moments more than others because we're just drawn to beauty. You got to know there was a wise man in the group who looked to the sky night after night just because he loved beautiful things. And he knew that beauty was always worth slowing down for. It was always worth giving a life to enjoying just that which is beautiful. When you last looked up, what were you looking for? These days, today, what are you looking for? We're all looking for something. This new year, what are you looking for? You see, all of these wise men, they could have looked up for totally different reasons, but they all found the exact same response. It turns out it wasn't some star they were looking for. It was a king. And it wasn't some apparition in the sky that drew them away from everything and sent them home totally changed. It was a person that did that. All of their journeys, all of their needs, all of their motives and longings, all that they were looking for, everything for every single one of them was all found only in Jesus. Doesn't matter how unique your search is, the answer is going to be found in Jesus. So my friends, I ask again, what are you looking for as we step into a new year? What are you looking for? And can I tell you, with all confidence and all faith, that whatever you're looking for, it is only ever really going to finally be found in Jesus. Your deepest aches, they can only be really healed in Jesus. Your wonder is only going to grow wilder and more awesome in the presence of Jesus. Jesus doesn't tame you down. Jesus lights a fire in you and gets you going with that wonder stuff more and more. Your need for adventure, hang out with Jesus. He's ready to take you to some places and show you some things that you never would have seen before. That longing within you for connection. Did you know that Jesus calls you child? And not just child, but friend. And did you know that he puts you in this family right here, that you belong? In Jesus, we could say, welcome home. Your grief. My friends, those that we love who have gone before us, they're with Jesus. And Jesus is with you. And so if that is true, that means that you are close to them too. So close. There is hope for the grieving in Jesus. Your lostness, your confusion, we still get found in Jesus. He knows the way because he is the way. Your worries, every last one of them, they can be laid down at the feet of Jesus and left there. Your love for beauty, there's none more beautiful than our Savior, Jesus. Your need for purpose, Jesus has yours already figured out. If you really want to know what it is, just ask him, because he's itching to fill you in and invite you into that fullness of life on purpose with him. Your hope that the darkness fades. Good news, my friends. Jesus has a name. It is the light of the world. And the light still overcomes the darkness. Jesus is the bright morning star. The light comes, the darkness fades in Jesus. What are you looking for? This morning, this year, what does your heart long for? Most of all, what does it long for? I can't answer for you, but you know for yourself. But I can tell you where it will be found this year and every year. I can tell you where that longing will be met this day and every day. So drop everything. And hop on your camel and head west. And don't you dare stop until you get to this one called Jesus. Don't you stop. They're going to try to distract you 1,000 different ways. Do not be distracted. Whatever you're looking for, it is going to be found in Jesus. Just do whatever it takes to get yourself smack dab in the presence of Jesus. That's it. You pray with me. Lord Jesus, all of us look up for 100 different reasons. All of us look down for 100 different reasons. All of us are asking questions. All of us are longing for something more in some area of our life. And this morning we remember what's always been true. Our hearts are longing for you. Just more of you, Jesus. Just more and more of you. Nothing else is it. If we think it's money, if we think it's security, if we think it's a certain relationship, if we think it's a certain status, when it comes to the end of it, we know in our heart of hearts, that's not it. That's not it. What we really long for is just more and more of you. And so this morning, each of us gets to start our own journey again, maybe for the 1,000th time for some of us, hopping on our camels and heading on that path to find you. You've already found us. Let us drop everything to be with you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.